The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12, Monday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. We're on the air with Man in Line, open line till 1 today. So call 66 13 68, text 166 177, WhatsApp 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Open line today, we're with Manx Care tomorrow, so if something's on your mind, tell everyone all about it. Jason Morehouse, MHK, is worried about the cost of proposed onshore wind farm, and he wonders whether it's the right choice for the Isle of Man. He's been asking for updated figures in Keys, wanting to know how much has been spent so far and how much it's going to cost in the end. Well, the best of luck. Vivian's first on with us today. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Andy. I have two little questions for you, please. Yeah. The first one is, they're selling all these trees and then exporting them all to England. And that doesn't make sense to me. Have we no useful wood on the island?
I noticed that the other day. I was in Ramsey around South Beach, and there's a huge pile of wood, isn't there, by the dock there?
Well, by Meseron boat, this was Friday night, there was a big trailer full of timber. Big timber, not small stuff, and they're exporting all this. There's several trailer loads go out a week, and that doesn't make sense to me. And then they're planting more trees. If we can't use them, don't plant them.
Well, I mean, presumably they're making a profit on them, Vivian.
I don't know. I can't find out anything about that. If you can, I'd be very pleased to hear it.
Well, it'd be interesting. Yeah, I must say, I was taken by the size of that pile of trees and just wondered. Obviously, they're doing some cutting at the moment. But they said that the trees only last for about 50 years. After 50 years, they have to cut them down. That's what they said, anyway.
Can I tell you that Sky Hill is 70 years built, put in, and they're still as strong as the day they were put in.
Well, if anybody knows, anybody is at the bottom of all this wood, then do tell us. What else was on your mind, Vivian?
Well, the second thing is, I don't like this when you ring up for a phone call from a doctor, that you get somebody from England phoning you. What on earth do they know about people in the Isle of Man? And I've heard lots of people, I've had one of these, and he told me to go to the chemist, which I'd already done. And a lot of people are asking the same question. Why are we getting phone calls from doctors in England instead of our own doctors here on the island?
Well, you do wonder, don't you? Is it because the doctors are too busy over here? There aren't enough of them?
I heard one answer to it, and I don't know whether it's true or not, that they're doing a lot of private patients.
The GPs are?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know. That's just a comment that's been put here. And the other thing is, why are they closing the gynae ward in Nobles? And that came from somebody that was told that on Saturday, from somebody who'd been up and been told that the ward would be closed.
Is this temporary or permanent?
Permanent.
Well, we'll try and find out tomorrow because we've got Manx Care on.
Sorry to give you all these questions, but...
Fine by me, Vivian. No, it's fine by me. That's what we're here for.
So, anyhow, I'll leave it all with you. Thank you very much indeed.
Good to hear from you, Vivian. Thanks for calling today. So, if anybody knows where all this wood's going from Defra, from the plantations, I saw a huge pile of it by Meseron at last week, actually. So are we making money on this, by the way? I mean, they said that they're obviously harvesting trees and planting trees. Presumably, they get a good price for it. Anyway, we'll find out. And have you had one of these UK GPs on the phone call? And why is it that the Manx GPs are either too busy, not available, or they're on courses, whatever it is. And, well, obviously we're paying for this. How do you feel about this? I mean, on a fundamental level, how do you feel about getting GPs from another jurisdiction? The Isle of Man isn't in the UK. And suddenly we've got UK GPs talking to Manx patients. And I didn't know that skeet or the rumour about the gynaecology ward at Nobles being closed, but we'll certainly try and find out. Thank you, Vivian. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. I've got two issues there from me. Is that one's to do with the DOI minister. Is regarding, it's not a Manx Radio one, it's a 3FM one. It says that they're not going to do anything about large vehicles in residential areas at the weekend. Now, you know for a fact in Onchan, and I'm speaking on as an individual commissioner, not as the board, is we do have tensions in certain places where when we have narrow streets, we have old camper vans, Belgravia Road, that was there at the weekend in a bowling competition, and there were seven of them. Four of them were wrecks, which should be dragged away. And I'm just wondering, when in this little short clip that's from 3FM there, it says they inquired with the local authorities. We did this some time ago, Andy, and we all said, all the local authorities around the island said, there is concern about heavy goods vehicles. They put a questionnaire out. Remember Jeff Robinson?
Yes, yeah. And what did the questionnaire say?
Well, it said, what can we do about vehicles in areas like big vehicles? Technically, they shouldn't be in a residential 30-mile-an-hour zone anyway, and they should be put somewhere different. You know, that's not up to us, by the way, as a local authority. It could be up to government. You look at how many commercial vehicles or big vehicles are just lying on the Summerland site. And I'm probably not getting a penny from any revenue at all.
So, Dave, just tell me then, does a local authority have any jurisdiction over HGVs or large vans being parked on residential streets?
No. It's all to do. We have a voice, and we represent the community. And the community is saying, and has been saying to me for a long time there, what are you doing about Belgravia Road? There was a proposal some time ago, I know it was the old board, but it was still valid as far as I'm concerned, to have an 18-24 zone there. So if the vehicle was simply parked over a long period or months on end, and we've had them for sometimes 6 months, and the horse box, I wish that guy that's got the horse box, the big blue one, right next to the disabled space, I reckon we're losing 20-odd people coming to the park every weekend to enjoy themselves because of parking. I would say it's inconsiderate parking, and it's in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Now, one of the quick ones I was going to say to you, Andy, was, too, where you look at the sieve terminal, they'll be on the camera. Who's paying for the three legs to be put in the flower bed?
Well, it'd be interesting to know. I wonder, have you seen it? Have you seen it at night? Apparently it's lit up.
No, I don't think it's even done yet. It's half in, half out. There was a major contractor there. I hope they haven't destroyed the palm trees that were in the middle. At least they were more decorative. It's like a giant lobster claw. I just wonder what people are thinking about this. And the other one, Andy, I just remember too, is we're coming up to Timmel Week, aren't we? What's happening with the statue? Who's paying for that?
Well,
Has it gone through planning?
Well, apparently it's quite big.
Well, isn't it a question to see whether I'm born in Brent Manx, but I don't remember who happened years ago. All I remember is that St. Patrick came to Peel and drove away all the snakes and stuff like that in the Isle of Man. That's why we don't have any critters, do we? No, yeah. Snakes, nothing will harm us anyway.
Well, all Mr. Skelly would say, all the president of Timwell would say was that there's no public money involved in this. So, A, we don't know who is actually paying for it. And
did they get...
Yeah. We'll find out.
Well, that's the thing. Who, because it was done by the DOI, or I presume he's doing it as himself as the president of Timwell then. Did he make the application himself, or did a government department make that application? I know, I'd love to find out what the fees were.
Mm. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. 16 minutes past 12. Now, this is whenever you talk about parking, it's a vexed question. Unless you're, you know, one of the millionaires of Bride and you have acres to play with. On estates, on housing estates, big vehicles can cause tensions. We all know it. We've all found out about it. We know somebody who's been involved on one end or the other. But tensions arise when big vehicles park in residential areas. It's only happened, in the past 10, 15 years or so, when suddenly people are taking big vans home. And lots of companies don't have parks, van parks anymore, so people are taking van to be, quote, on call, unquote. Well, if the local authorities can't do anything about it, you just wonder, is this DOI? And who do you report it to? Do you report it to the police? Do you report it to the DOI? And what can you do about it? In particular, the people who are virtually abandoning vehicles. Not just big vehicles, but, you know, small ones. And just leaving them there for a long, long time. So the tyres get flat. And the moss starts to grow. What do you do? It can blight your life. Some people, obviously, if they're doing it, don't care. Turn a blind eye. Out of sight, out of mind. What do you do? And if you've been on the end of this, can you tell me your story? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Jason Morehouse is asking for updated figures in the House of Keys, wanting to know how much has been spent so far on the onshore wind farm at Eyre Stain and how much it's going to be in the end. Manx Utilities estimates Caer Vi will cost about £40 million in total. Already more than £3 million has gone on consultancy fees. Jason Morehouse says things are becoming less clear. And he wants Comyn, the Council of Ministers, to hit pause and take a proper look and see whether this is the best we can do.
Even down to basic issues such as the cost of electricity, there's no clarity. You go to the MUA facts website and it's quite clear that the cost of the electricity will be no cheaper, it could be more expensive. When I asked the Chief Minister that question, he was convinced it could be cheaper. And, you know, basic fundamental issues like that leave you asking the question, who's making these decisions? Has it just gone onto autopilot? And the consultants are benefiting most from this.
And why do you think there is such dependence on consultants?
Oh, that is a frustration of mine. And it's one of those things that we seem to have a political culture now, a civil service culture where decisions can't be made by the postholder. It's got to be done based on an independent report and independent findings. And it is so frustrating that so much money is actually spent on finding these possible solutions to things. It's going to reduce the accountability, but it's also going to improve their credibility in the first instance, that it's not something that's been worked out on the back of an envelope. This is something that has been done by a experienced individual, an experienced company. Often, if it was done in-house, there'd be more questions, there'd be more analysis as the project developed. And I do worry that this is a perfect example of actually saying we'll spend more on the consultants so we can actually justify our position. It's one of those things we need to actually be pausing the scheme, looking at whether this is realistically the right scheme, rather than just simply plowing forward and thinking next stage is going to be the planning permission, the next stage is going to be this, the next stage is going to be that. The world has changed and we need to actually be looking at whether this is the best scheme in terms of cost, but also in terms of the environment.
Jason Morehouse, MHK, talking about the Caer Vi wind scheme and how much it's going to cost. Got to say thank you to Steve. He sent me a picture and told me the bus service that served Douglas Head was number 25. And he sent me a lovely photo of a Douglas Corporation bus, the number 25. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate that. Paul in Mackle said, Andy, company vehicles taken home surely should be regarded as a taxable benefit. Whoa, somebody at the tax office will be happy about that. A taxable benefit if you take a company vehicle home. Is Julian now? Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks. It's well, it's better than it was. It stopped raining.
Yeah, it's warm. It's nice. Just before I talk about the interconnector, any listeners, if you might grab last week's courier, just to see what I'm going to talk about. Just quickly, though, you mentioned about Jason Morehouse. It's interesting to note that the MUA document number MC2023/04 shows that Wardell Armstrong were allocated £354,000, including expenses for their consultancy services to do with the environmental impact assessment for the Carevi wind farm. However, there's an FOI number, which is 455-8253, that provides the total figure that's been spent up to the end of April, just gone. And that figure is £3,138,932. So where did the balance of £2.8 million of expenses for the wind farm consultancy go? I mean, have we got extremely expensive lawyers and PR consultants? Because that that amount of money is nine times what Wardell were allocated on the MUA document.
Wow. So they were, just to go through those figures again, they were allocated how much and they spent how much?
Just under £354,000, including expenses, which would be travel and meals and whatnot. But the total amount on the FOI so far for all consultancy charges is £3,138,932.
Right.
So that leaves a balance of £2.8 million. So where's that gone? It'd kind of be interesting to know. And I think Jason might be asking that question as to where's that £2.8 million gone, just so we know. The Courier, last week's Courier newspaper, the front page headline was written by Adrian Derbyshire, and the headline was $100 million bill to meet Ireland's net zero target. Although despite the title, the next paragraph says it only refers to the new interconnector. If you turn to page three, it states that a UK study in 2016, which is 9 years ago, remember the inflation, estimated that the cost per kilometre for an interconnector is between €2 and €4 million, which is about £1.7 million to £3.4 million per kilometre. But then the article says that the interconnector from us to Bispen is 104 kilometres long. So if the article's saying that it's 104 kilometres long and the average price is 1.7 to 3.4 million, how could it be 100 million? It's got to be somewhere between 170 million and 340.
Which is this for the new interconnector?
Yes.
That's coming from Preston, isn't it? Isn't it coming from Preston to Groudle, I think? That may be less than it is from Portskillion below us to Bispham. It probably is a bit less.
Well, whatever it is, it's going to be somewhere around 100 kilometres. So if you look at a recent example, the BBC reported on the 765-kilometre Viking Link interconnector between Revsing in southern Denmark, which goes to Bicker Fen in Lincolnshire. That came online just over a year ago, so the price is right up to date. And that cost $1.7 billion. So if you divide $1.7 billion by 765 kilometres, you end up with £2.2 million a kilometre.
Right.
Which is right in the middle of that estimate from 2016. A bit more, because of course you've got inflation. So if you apply the cost of that Danish interconnector at £2.2 million per kilometre, and then you apply it to the 104-odd kilometres that we're going to need, that would indicate around £230 million, which is more than double the headline from last week. So where on earth did the £100 million headline come from? And has the author, Adrian Derbyshire, actually read his own article? Because his own article says it's somewhere between 170 and 340 million.
Yeah. Are we going to have to pay for this interconnector between Preston and here? Because I thought that was going to be rolled into the deal with the wind farm, with the wind farm off the east coast. I thought Ørsted were. I don't know whether that's on top of that or whether it was, you know, take the wind farm and you get the interconnector free. I don't know. Maybe that's just a bit too simplistic.
Well, the news yesterday from Citi, which is CITI, which is affiliated with Citibank. They are recommending now that Ørsted are changed to sell and they're looking at a target price for the shares of 211 Danish kroners. They're currently at 252, and they were 1,400 4 years ago. So that would say that they're down 85%. If that was applied to a shop in the street, you'd be wondering when the doors are going to close.
Well, I think people in the Danish government are going to be worried about that, surely.
Well, there's only, what, is it 4 million people in Denmark? They can't afford to be keeping on bailing out Ørsted because it's obviously not viable. You mentioned also talking about Jason Morehouse. He's going to ask about the cost of the wind farm here. October 16th, 2023, the headline in the Manx Independent was the £23 million wind farm at Iriestein. Then there was talk about a £12 million extra for the landing stage at Derby Haven that was then pulled because it wasn't viable, especially as it's an area of special scientific interest. So it was never taken back down to £23 million, which is on that headline page in the Manx Independent. So how's it got to 40 million? And I'm hearing it's a lot more than 40 million now. So you're talking a 74% inflation in a year and a half, Andy? Is that possible?
The trouble is that, and Jason Morehouse mentioned this in that report, in that it's the price of electricity. And you know what I'm going to say, and I think we all need to keep our eye on this. It's like navigating. Keep your eye on the lighthouse. Keep your eye on that particular promontory or the rock or that piece of land, because that will guide us now. And the figure, of course, is 29p. Nobody is saying it's going to be more expensive. Everybody keeps on saying it's going to be cheaper electricity. But, Julian, they never say cheaper in relation to what? Whenever anybody says to any politician, how much is a kilowatt hour going to be on the other side? They obfuscate, they conceal, if you like, they just throw a veil over it and say, well, it'll be cheaper and it's almost like it's better quality electricity. We pay 29p per kilowatt hour. And I think the voters, the constituents and the people, the civilians of the Isle of Man, are entitled to know how much is it going to be. What do you think?
There's two points to that. The first one is, the gas that supplies Manx Electricity Authority has dropped back, wholesale price has dropped back to 2021 levels for months on end now, when we were paying 17 pence a unit. So we should be paying 17 pence a unit based on the money that's spent on the gas. We need to know, when are they going to renew the contract if they haven't already, because it can't last forever. And the other point is that FOI indicated that the green certified energy that was coming down the interconnector from England is twice the price at wholesale, you know, the actual bulk price. So if we get it down the interconnector, it's 17.5p. If we make it ourselves, it's 9 from gas. So the whole idea that it's going to be cheaper, and I keep asking this question, which jurisdiction in the world has made their electricity cheaper by widespread rollout of renewables? I've yet to get anybody to give me an answer to that, because all the places that have done it are Germany, UK, Denmark, and they're all the most expensive in the world, the cheapest, the Sudan, Egypt, Iran, these type of places, which are only using diesel and gas. So, you know, the evidence is right there in front of you when you see the bills. America, they're paying 3 times less than we are, at least.
Okay.
Especially in states that haven't done wind.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Thank you, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Half past 12. And a note in from hi, Paul. It's a 715. Said, I'd like to know how much it's cost government to answer all Jason Morehouse's questions. Must take up thousands of hours work to give him the answers he constantly demands in Tynwald. Thank you, Paul. Well, I think the answer is he's entitled to it. It's his job. It's what he's hired for. It's what the people in Arbroath, Castletown and Maloo wanted him in there for. And they will make their decision next year, next September. They'll either say that Jason Morehouse is a worthy MHK, or they'll say not. They will choose. Their choice. Up until then, Mr. Morehouse is entitled to ask as many questions as he can fit in. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Excuse me. Listen to Julian there. One of the things you don't hear about, especially for the interconnector, and supposed to be coming ashore in Groudal. How are they going to connect to the dispersal around the island of the electricity that's coming ashore? There's no mention, because the present interconnector comes in Port Skillion. And that goes over the headland and down onto the original power station down there on the South Quay, North Quay rather. It then it's split into three sections and goes up through and is fed into the power station, which goes into the distribution point. But if they bring this ashore in Groudal, we've got about another 4 or 5 miles at least before it can get anywhere near a dispersal point.
I'm trying to think, Howard, where's the nearest one to Groudal?
What's that?
The nearest, as you say, nearest dispersal substation, where they're going to bring electricity ashore to, as you say, so it can be dispersed. I'm trying to think where the nearest one will be to Groudal.
Well, this will be a high voltage cable coming in. It won't be your normal small cables. I saw the one when it came in, 20 odd years ago, and it was a huge amount of cable. Yeah. They had a section of it somewhere. I don't know if they still got one in the museum, but it is a big lump. And this would have to be broken into several sections to bring it into a reasonable working voltage amperage to bring it ashore. And if you remember when they've just renewed the bridge at Paul Rose and the roadway there, the cost and the time it took was because the main cable's coming and runs up through alongside the nunnery, I think. They feed the power from the interconnector up through to the power station and then onto its distribution point. So you never hear any mention of this in the monies. They talk about from one point to another, but only to the coastal area. They don't say it's going to cost X number of tens of millions to bring it into a point where it'll go into the system.
That's a very good point, because, as you say, Groudal it's not exactly urban, is it? I mean, they're going to have to build something, either trunk something or ditch something to get something for that to happen.
Yeah,
it's funny, I'd never thought of that. So,
if you look on Douglas Head, say from the south side of Douglas, you'll still see the scar. It's purposely left there because that is where the gas came over the hill when they changed there to a an accessible point from the harbours. And the gas came over there into the old gasworks. But there's also the scar there, purposely, as I say, so it's kept clear. And you'll see where that cable comes over and comes down Douglas Head out to where, I'm assuming it's somewhere around on the bottom of Gasworks Hill or something like that. But it was a big lump of cable, and then all the spiel that they gave out, it went into the old power station next to the Newsom's building and then up through to the power station.
Yeah.
But what I was coming on for, actually, is something I saw this morning, and I think it's rather alarming to a degree. There's a chap who's just brought recently, and this is on YouTube, and he's brought a McLaren P1 sports car over to the island and is showing on public road. He said, I'm going to a place now, and he keeps saying the UK. It just shows how literate he is. Well, I'm going to a place in the UK where I can legally do 140 mile an hour on public roads. And he's on the mountain road, and he's doing several runs of the mountain road with normal traffic on, and he's got this McLaren car, and it shows the speedometer, 142 mile an hour, and he's boasting about it to petrol heads out there, and this is going to encourage idiots to come over and go up on the mountain section and, well, try and achieve more speeds than that. They're 150, 160. I know Mark Higgins was doing it, but it was on closed roads. This was on a public road with normal traffic on it. So, and this is a, it's on, I've seen the whole video this morning on YouTube, and it's scary because if you've got somebody up there heading towards you at 140 mile an hour, you don't stand one cap in hell's chance of surviving. So, and this is going out worldwide, so this should be taken into consideration by the police here on the island and by our government. This is not a racetrack, it's public roads.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that. Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, 23 minutes before one. Have you seen this video about this McLaren over here? Who is this? Well, the chief constable has had something to say about coming into TT. The constabulary has launched a new road safety campaign to encourage visitors and residents to stay safe. 2 weeks today, it all gets underway. Of course, a week on Friday, the pre-TT starts on Belaume. But they reckon 50,000 people will be visiting us during that fortnight. The constabulary's view of all this, the Chief Constable, Russ Foster.
Well, certainly over the last 3 years, we're thankful not to have experienced any fatalities on our open public roads during the periods of pre-TT, TT and the Southern 100, as well as the Manx Grand Prix. And certainly our aspiration for 2025 is to end the racing season fatal free. I'm aware some people have been coming for many, many years, others for the first time, but my message is really simple and really clear. It's know your limits, and that's whether this is your riding ability or the capability of your motorcycle. Now, there's one stark statistic which I will highlight, and that it's worthy of note that over 50s have continued to be the age range who have sustained the greatest number of serious injuries following a collision on a motorcycle, and that trend has continued over the last 3 years.
Right, so what's police going to be doing to kind of help or educate people, you know, to try and make keep everyone as safe as possible?
Well, clearly our aspiration is to reduce casualties on the roads, so certainly our officers will be focusing policing operations island-wide, and those who drive or ride irresponsibly without any consideration for the road users will certainly be the focus of the operation. And any people breaking the law will certainly be dealt with robustly. In addition to that, we're certainly going to be having marked and unmarked vehicles proactively deployed for the duration of the motorsport periods, and we'll be patrolling around collision hotspots and targeting anyone who's not respecting our laws.
You see, we're on the horns of a dilemma, aren't we? In that many people have been coming for years, and we all know people, visitors who come over and absolutely adore going for a burn, going for a Taz over the mountain, and they want to do it. But it's obvious that times are changing. But it will be interesting to see how the constabulary handle this particular situation. As the Chief Constable said, we are lucky that we remain fatality-free where that was concerned, that particular sector was concerned over the past few years. But everybody's watching us. Had one of those UK GP appointments. This is 152 WhatsApp. It was a disgrace. I waited all afternoon and they told me to take paracetamol and get on with it. Ended up needing to seek further treatment. A 9-week wait to get an actual GP appointment in Ramsey. The trees are cut down by Euroforest and will be shipped to Drax for burning in their biomass power stations. Drax are paid a huge sum of money by the UK government, were told, to use sustainable trees. Drax got into bother for cutting down important forests in Canada, also the dirtiest method of electricity production. Is this true? This is a 441. It would be nice to know if our trees are going to... Drax is a big power station in South Yorkshire, I think. Is it near Doncaster? A huge place. It used to, I think, at one time supply about 4% of the England's electricity. It was a coal-fired power station. But it would be nice to know if they're burning our wood. Again, everybody's saying company vehicles taken home should be regarded as a taxable benefit. If you're using a company vehicle to go home in, surely... Malcolm said, well, good on Jason Morehouse for asking important questions. It's a pity the rest of them haven't got the... the new addition on Douglas Promenade roundabout at the Sea Terminal. Have you seen it? It's the latest addition to the lighting scheme for the prom. It's called Peveril Island, obviously opposite the old Peveril Hotel. Peveril Island, sculptured column designed by a lighting specialist, and it will provide a focal point, they say, for passers-by and passengers arriving on the island with a steam packet. Well, that's nice. Because at the moment you come out and all you see is that forlorn-looking palm in the middle of the roundabout. The three legs are man's symbol and a modern-style bracket and lantern array. The three legs is mounted on a triangular column with two sides containing a laser-cut script incorporating Archibald Knox's design. They're all going to be illuminated from within. Well, we'll wait and see. Some people like the Brian Neal statue at the airport. Others can't bear it. Well, I suppose beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
Mum, is this where you beat Dad in that tough mucker?
Only because I got stuck in those massive muddy ditches.
Oh, excuses, excuses.
Well, this is my year. I've been training, you know.
Yeah, training your pie-eating talent.
Right, that's it. Let's race. Right now.
Fine. Ready? Steady?
Dad, you're falling in the mud.
No, not again!
Join us Sunday the 5th of October for the ultimate family-friendly obstacle challenge. Whether you're racing to win or just in it for the laughs, it's time to get muddy for a great cause. Lead sponsor Island Escapes and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Just over a month ago, Perspective heard from Robert Murray, who explained his plan to build an anaerobic digester and energy hub at Andrus. Just over a week ago, a group of farmers and government officials visited Scotland to see how AD plants work. I joined them as an independent observer, and this week's agenda gives the farmers' view on how energy crops could work for Manx agriculture. That's agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gawn. Some positive news for farmers and more stable energy bills. But will government back it?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My daughter lives down north. Her estate's packed with builders' vans, camper vans, huge 4x4s. The crazy thing is many of the offenders have got their own driveways, but they park on the streets or on the pavement. Worse still, you can't turn around on her street as people are even dumping vans and minibuses in the turning circle. The very place that's meant to be no parking. If you've got a drive but you park on the street, I think your rate should be doubled. But, says Derek, forget complaining, as some of the people you're supposed to complain to have got their own vans up there as well. Here's Charlie with us now. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. There is a law in place that prevents anything over 3.5 tonne being parked in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. But you're not going to get it enforced because the enterprise are the biggest offenders with electric deboard, waterboard vans, supposedly on call, with their drivers taking them home with them.
When did this start, Charlie?
40, 50 years ago. I remember years ago when we had a film industry. I had two containers parked outside my house because we're filming. So I contacted David North and asked him directly, was he above the law? He said, no. I said, why have you got two 32-ton container wagons parked in a 30-mile-an-hour zone? I said, get them moved or I'll call the police. Within half an hour, they moved them up to the back of the grandstand.
Right.
But they left bollards to stop the residents parking there. So I moved the bollards because I checked with the town council. There was no restricted parking in that area at the moment in time. And our residents actually park there.
Right, so there's a law that says anything above 3.5 tonnes can't be parked in a 30-mile-an-hour limit.
Yeah. But as I say, the biggest offenders are the government, with their employees taking vehicles home because they're on call.
All right. And are they on you call?
Well, you don't know. You go to Ramsey any morning, it's 7:30. There's electricity board vans and water board vans heading into Douglas. When you go around Clonkelphin and different estates around Ramsey, there's government vehicles parked up in the estates. And it's the same with Paul Rose and Wilson.
Well, they can't all be on call.
Well, you try and get an answer from the government. I've given up trying to get an answer from anybody in the government.
So who do you report it to? Is it police or the department or what?
Well, the police aren't doing anything because they can't even get a tax disc on a government vehicle because they're exempt from tax.
Mm.
If you buy a vehicle from the auction house in Derby Road and it's a government vehicle, it's got a tax-exempt sticker in. You've got to get the logbook and register it when you buy it.
So where do we go from here then, Charlie? I mean, what should people do? Because this gets right under people's collars.
Oh, yeah, it does. But the thing is, when you go, like, say, in Clongalfin, there's a loop around there's like a big radius of the grass in the centre. It's just wide enough for a car and a half. Yeah, well, you get a vehicle parked on it, and the same on Watson Lane. People are actually driving onto the grass verge to get past parked vehicles.
Well, it's only a matter of time before something goes wrong.
Oh yeah, it is.
And then what'll happen?
Well, nobody's got enough money in the Alaman to fight the government, have they?
Well, that's a very good point. Right. All right, Charlie. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, bye.
The government says it can't afford an air ambulance, yet it wastes £3 million on the wind farm survey, says Alan. My friend took a photo of a load at Ramsey being loaded onto Meseren. Big, beautiful timbers and many truckloads are heading out of Peel to Ramsey over several weeks. Our wood. They leave us with the trees, which are dying due to the ashback and what have you, says CC. Thank you for that. And UK GP is calling patients. How does that work in relation to GDPR, says Andrea. Well, nobody knows, Andrea, do they? I mean, presumably they'll say that the data is safe and presumably somebody's worked all this out. But in your gut, how do you feel about that, having to deal with a UK GP? I mean, we are the Isle of Man, aren't we? And I mean, they may say, well, it's no different from having a remote consultation with somebody on another part of the Isle of Man. But is it? Empire Terrace and Palace Road in Douglas are getting rammed with parked large vans every weekend now. Very narrow road. Who are these people and who can we complain to? Says Bob in Douglas. Well, Bob, there are new councillors in Douglas. There are new people, so it might be interesting to talk to... we've got a couple of the new councillors on Man in Line. One's a returning councillor and one is a new councillor. Well, he's a returning. Anyway, I'll make sense of this. On Friday 23rd of this month, newly elected Douglas City Councillor David Cretney is on Man in Line. And Thursday 29th, of May, the new Douglas City Council leader, Devon Watson, is on. So we got a returning councillor. Of course, he was an MHK for many years and then an MLC, Minister of Fun for many years, David Cretney, new Douglas City Councillor. And the week after that, Devon Watson, the new leader of Douglas City Council, on. So it will be interesting to talk to them and see what, because certainly it's a problem that's, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, does it? The roads are always going to be as wide as they ever were, but there are more and more vans that are around. And people taking work vans home, well, And it would be nice to know, maybe all these companies, if somebody is genuinely on call, they should have a big sign, you know, like doctors have a sign saying, doctor on call. Maybe they should have one of those. The statue is on hold. The government started digging to put the lighting and the power in, and Manx National Heritage told them to stop, as planning hadn't yet been passed. Is that the story, Mr. Skelly's statue? Is it? It's big. I mean, it is very big. And Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Are you good?
Very good, yes. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I was listening to Perspective at the weekend. Can you hear me okay? I'm just walking up Broadway. I looked at this Perspective at the AD plant, you know, the plant that uses the turnips on the papers.
Yeah.
To facilitate energy usage up in Ramsey. That would normally be by EC funding, wouldn't it, or something like that. So I don't know where they're going to get. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to get the money from.
Well, your phone signal's fading a bit, Robert. So we'll leave it there. But if you want more information tonight, there's another Phil Gorn's on talking about this anaerobic digester that he went to see with the. I think the government were there, councils were there, farmers were there. They were in Scotland just to see what it is that they're doing with this anaerobic digester and how it uses agricultural products. Oh, Paul in Ramsey just said somebody was on the other day from the forestry saying they're selling the fallen trees to generate income to better develop the forest and the plantations with different types of trees and better use for the areas. For other uses as well. The trees were all storm damaged earlier on this year, says Paul in Ramsey. A note in from Dan, who just said, we've heard many times, and particularly on Man in Line, about all the dead ash trees, the ash dieback. What do they do with them? Once they've got rid of the dead trees, do they leave them there, or do they get thrown into the energy from waste plant? What happens to the dead trees? Just an idea, says John, instead of a traffic light crossing by 1886 while the building works are being done, why not get a tin of white paint and mark up the pretend crossing next to it? Those lights are slowing everything down and those works will be going on for months, possibly years. There you go again, John, with your common sense. I'm listening from Portugal and it all sounds the same, says Desmond. I'd like to know how much it's cost, this Paul, now, how much does it cost government to answer all Jason Morehouse's questions? I think they do an answer to that. Having just had a brief look, says John, it looks like to me like the three legs is a light fitting that'll be going on top of the new pole in the middle of the roundabout. I'm sure it'll look lovely, don't you? DOI Estate Shared Services paid for the electric trench without planning permission, and the heritage departments are jumping all over them because it's a heritage site. We'll see what happens then with this big statue. Is it in proportion to Timball Hill? Because the whole thing looks, I mean, at one end you've got Timball Hill and then the wigwam at the end, and the other end you've got the National Church and then the pathway in between. How will it look? Have you noticed the new cameras on the Matrix warning signs at May Hill and White Gates and Hillbury? Also, Leaney Road in Ramsey is a dumping ground for untaxed builders' vans, using them as storage. And last on the list, two abandoned motorhomes in Lower Foxdale. And by the way, the public loos at Laxey Quick Quayside are still filthy and unhygienic. Francini is doing a lot of wandering around at the moment. Could the fire chief take his brigade along Duke Street, Strand Street in the evening and hose down the empty shops and possibly the paving outside Boots and Deals just to clean it up before TT? Says Liz, you're not the only person to notice this because it's been dry for a long time. Strand Street has become somewhat stained. And a note in from Mo, the mighty Maureen, who says, since you mentioned it, I've been checking all the windows on Strand Street. And I make out that about one in five is actually clean. And they certainly can't be cleaned every day. What happened to shopkeepers being proud of their businesses?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Could anybody tell me which is the cleanest shopfront on Strand Street? Sheila Lloyd's on tomorrow. Sheila is the Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals, and she's in charge of all sorts of things, including midwifery, the patient experience. She looks at complaints, professional education and training, infection prevention and control, and also weather. Two new senior matrons are on. Louise Proudfoot, which is the Louise is the senior matron for children's services, and Joe Standish is the senior matron for medicine and the emergency department. That's Manx Care tomorrow. Joe Standish, Louise Proudfoot is on, and also Sheila Lloyd. And I hope you join us tomorrow at high noon. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a great day.
WINT.